Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning. 909 on KDXU. We got Jack Lancaster in the house today. Hi, Jack.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
He's got the guns out. Ready to work out, huh?
Going to go to the gym after this show.
I'm proud of you. Good for you.
Thank you. It's been a thing since about second week of January this year.
Okay.
I used to work out all the time, and then when I got married,
I quit. New Year's resolution, huh?
It started out, but then it took me about halfway through the month to get it started, but it's been consistent.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Jack and I used to play basketball together years ago.
Well, I don't have the knees for it anymore.
Me neither. Well, yeah. No, I can't. With my leg situation, I can't jump.
Yeah, so yeah, that's
tough. You can't jump and you play basketball.
That's not a good thing. No. Yeah, kind of go hand in hand, right?
So maybe if I used to play with some guys that their average age was like 70.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And none of them jumped.
Yeah, but, well, that's a good, that's a good group of guys.
Yeah.
Give me their names. I'd like to join that group.
I used to play every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 a.m. at St. George Rec Center with these guys.
8 a.m.?
8 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they're still going because I haven't been in a few years.
Yeah.
They were, it was old school basketball. Pick and roll.
Yeah,
and
yeah, good stuff.
Back cuts and
fun.
Great passing. And,
yeah.
You know, the hook shot was a prominent feature.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I loved playing with those guys, yeah.
It's funny how that game has evolved over the years.
Yeah.
You know, you watch
it's all,
now.
All about the three now.
Well, not only that, or it's just one guy going down and doing a one-on-one, contest with the defender to the hoop.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of teams going on.
That's why I still, to me, college basketball is still very more of a team sport than the NBA has become.
Yeah.
In college basketball, you have, and the zone defense is part of that. You can't beat a zone playing one-on-one. Because if you beat your guy, guess what? There's another guy standing there waiting.
Right.
But in the NBA, they have zone defenses, but you're not allowed to be in this. The defender is not allowed to be in the lane for more than 3 seconds or something.
Well, they got an illegal defense rule.
Yeah, defensive.
Too?
Yeah,
it's your defensive three seconds or something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So. You know, there's a reason I haven't watched the NBA forever.
Mm. Yeah,
I guess that's one of them.
That's one of them. Yeah.
Well, since they did the whole Black Lives Matter on the court too, yeah. And everybody had to have their Justice Warrior slogan on the back of their jerseys. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
I remember watching the Jazz first game after all the BLM stuff, and it was a season opener. I'm like, I'm going to watch. I always used to be a big Jazz fan.
Yeah,
and it was so in your face. Not only the courts, the jerseys, every single commercial was stuff about social justice and BLM and all.
Well, that's like, a really good way to turn off the audience.
It worked. I haven't watched a game since.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know where the standings were. I had to look it up the other day to see if they made the playoffs.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah, I heard that. They got a new coach, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Fired the last coach.
Oh, they fired him? Yeah. I don't even know. Yeah. I used to be the biggest Jazz fan. Yeah.
Well, and the guy that owns the Jazz now also owns the Real, and he also owns the new NHL team that is moving to Utah.
So they got the NHL team from Phoenix, I heard, moving up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't allow him to have the trademark or nickname, so
he's got to create a new one.
This Ryan Smith guy is going to have a contest. He called it a March Madness-style bracket contest for a new name for the team.
Okay. So. Awesome. Well, that's good. Get the community to buy in on it.
Storm and Mormons did not make the cut.
Oh, dang. No,
not going to be that.
Shoot. So.
That
would be a good one, though.
That would be. On a more serious note, I don't know how many of you heard of it. And a lot of us don't follow the news on Sundays. But I know you hadn't heard much about this either. But so I'm going to lay out kind of what happened yesterday. So about 6 o'clock in the morning, a motorist passes a semi-truck. And oddly enough, sees a person on the back of the truck. Like, I guess it was a flatbed or whatever. Saw a person on the back. So the motorist calls the police department. Says, hey, I just passed a truck and there's a person on the back of the truck. So the police, this truck's rolling up northbound on I-15. Gets to about Santaquin. And the Santaquin police officer spots him. Okay. Radios it in. He pulls him over just seconds after he pulls him over the UHP pulls in behind him. So there's two police cars there. The guy who was driving the truck has an extensive history of run-ins with the law.
Okay.
Including several felony evadings.
Oh.
Just a lot. I don't even know the whole pen. I read it, but I don't remember it. A lot of run-ins with the law. Anyway, after talking with the police a little bit, they get ready. They're going to cite him, maybe arrest him. The person that was supposedly on the back of the truck is nowhere to be found. They have no idea who or what or if it was even real.
Huh.
But this guy had some warrants. He had some stuff. And so they go back to their car to their cars to do some paperwork and computer work. And the guy drives away
in his
diesel truck. And they're like, well, that's odd. So about a minute later is all, and they haven't, so they're running now. So they go and, you know, they kind of run. Wait, what are you doing? Hey, stop. But he goes. So they go to get back in their cars. And, about a minute later, he turns around on the freeway. Now this is 6 a.m. on a Sunday. So as you can imagine, there's no traffic.
Yeah.
He turns his diesel around on the freeway and goes back the wrong direction toward those police officers.
Oh my gosh.
Sadly, he rams them on purpose. The impact kills the Santaquin police officer.
Oh, no.
On impact. The UHP guy, because his car was behind the Santaquin car, was not injured. But he was able to radio in what had just happened.
Yeah.
So after the crash, the guy jumps out of his car, his diesel.
Okay.
And someone else had stopped to see what was going on. Pulls a gun on them and kicks them out of their truck. He jumps in their truck and takes off.
So he had a gun and he pulled it. So the diesel driver carjacked another car.
Exactly.
Okay.
So he's in a Ford F-150. He drives and I don't know all the details on why they didn't pursue him at that point, but he got away.
Okay.
I think maybe the UHP car was also disabled.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. But so he got away. They put out a all points bulletin or, you know, ATL, they call it, attempt to locate on this guy. They have Santaquin, Payson, and several communities in the area shelter in place, between the hours this was about 6:30 at this point. This is all happening.
Yeah.
And of course you've got churches starting at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so they assigned the Santaquin and Payson police where had police officers out watching churches, just making sure this guy didn't show up. Well, so the guy drove the truck he stole for a little while, ditched it, carjacked another car, ditched that, carjacked a third vehicle, another Ford pickup, and made it all the way to Vernal. You know where Vernal is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's about 180 miles east.
That's a long way from
Payson.
Yeah. You basically have to go up and over. You can't get there from here.
Yeah.
Anyway, they locate him in Vernal at about 11 o'clock in the morning and institute a police chase. He driving a truck at a high speed, doesn't make a corner, ends up in, you know, crashing his truck in a ravine. They were able to arrest him without any further incident, which means it sounds like to me maybe he was injured a little bit in the crash because he didn't try to fight back. But and he is currently under arrest for
murder.
Yeah. And when I first heard it, when it very first broke, I thought, a truck hit a police car, a police officer was killed.
Uh-huh.
I thought, okay, well, probably an accident, maybe a DUI, but certainly not murder. And so when I had heard they had arrested the guy for murder, I'm like, now, wait, what? And then I got reading the whole story and kind of.
What do we know about this guy?
Okay, I know his name. Let's see if I can find his name. Last name is Jayne, J-A-Y-N-E. Let's see. Michael Aaron Jayne, 42 years old, has an extensive criminal history, was arrested at one point just a couple of years ago for being in possession of a firearm and of a body armor. He had a bulletproof vest. As a felon, as a convicted felon, you're not allowed to.
Where is he from?
Either one of those things.
Where was he arrested?
That was in Oregon.
Oregon. Oh.
They don't say. I'm not seeing a hometown for this guy.
I'm curious. Is he a fugitive from one of these liberal lefty type states where they don't put people away?
You know, that I do not know.
Okay.
Most of his records are for Kansas and Oregon are the two places where he seems to have spent most of his time.
Uh-huh.
And they are both pretty liberal states, especially Oregon.
Yeah.
But obviously the law enforcement community statewide is rallying around the fact that this police officer was killed in the line of duty.
Yeah.
And it's a sad thing.
This was yesterday. Did he leave, how much family did he leave behind?
They actually haven't even released the police officer's name yet.
Oh, they haven't. Okay.
Because they want to make sure all the next of kin is notified and everything. But the lieutenant from Santaquin Police Department said they had a wedding nearing, which to me it seems like
he's a young guy.
No, I'm thinking it was his kid getting married soon.
Oh, jeez.
So a guy maybe in his 40s.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So
we don't pay these cops enough.
No, we do not. And that's, you know,
well, when we find out who he is, if I'm sure he leaves a family behind, let's advertise the, you know, whatever fund there is to help with the family on that. You know.
Agreed. The Santaquin Police Department has 15 officers. You imagine 1/15 of your police department has been eliminated.
Well, that family. Yeah, their family.
So.
Okay. Wow.
Sad deal there. I'm trying to think, are there some overriding lessons we can learn? Is it just one guy's a psycho and that's what happened? Or there's some kind of...
You don't know enough to know if there is a lesson. Like I said, maybe the guy's got some serious felony raps and he should have been in prison. We don't know if that's the story or not, you know?
I was... The thing that... There's an article on, of course, Deseret News. There's an article on KSL.com about it. In that article, the KSL.com article, they talk about his criminal history quite a bit. It seems to imply the longest he ever served in prison was 8 months, which is not enough considering some of the crimes. Attempted murder is in there, felony fleeing is in there. How he only served 8 months on any of those charges is amazing to me. And like you said, how do you learn lessons if you don't know the whole story? And I guess the rest of the story will come out.
Yeah.
Very, very sad. Kudos to Utah. Every overpass in Utah County was lined with people. So they took the police officer's body, medical examiner picked him up and took him to the medical examiner's office in Salt Lake. And every overpass in Utah County was lined with people with American flags and people that just wanted to pay tribute to this guy. So
it's a tragedy, no doubt. I think it's just one of those things that's going to happen. You know, these guys, they put their lives on the line every time they go out, and you just don't know. One day, a Sunday morning, and it's going to be it.
Yeah, 6 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, of all times and places, you know.
What do you think goes into, and we're just guessing here, but goes into a guy wanting to be a police officer? Somebody said, oh, these are the thrill seekers. These are the guys that... I don't think it's thrill seeker. In fact, if you ask most police officers, a lot of the job is kind of monotonous. So what is it that makes them want to do that? I don't know. Selflessness?
Well, it's not in my DNA growing up, so I don't know. I could talk to my nephew. My nephew was a police officer in Ogden, and then he was a sheriff's deputy. In fact, he got shot in Ogden and killed the guy that shot him. A number of years ago.
My nephew is a police officer in Ogden right now.
Yeah.
So, we have that in common.
And anyway, he's just retired. He was a sheriff's deputy in Millard County, and then he worked in Washington State as a police officer. And then he just retired and moved back to Utah. But I don't know. I could talk to him about why he wanted to get into the job. But I think there's a lot of it. They feel like they have a duty to do service to the community, I feel like. You know, that there's a need to give something. I mean, maybe it's a similar motivation for a young man or young woman joining the service, joining the military, wanting to do service, you know.
Okay, by the way, I did get an email or a text that the officer that has been identified, this is from a Channel 2 KUTV article, Sergeant Bill Hooser, H-O-O-S-E-R.
Okay.
And a GoFundMe page has been set up for confirmed by Utah Senator Mike McKell. The GoFundMe page. Well, I would say the best thing to do is probably go to that KUTV article and find the link there, because that's what I'm looking for or looking at. Or you can just search Bill Hooser, Sergeant Bill
Hooser. How do you spell the last name?
H-O-O-S-E-R, Bill Hooser. Yeah, it looks like already $43,000 has been raised in his name to help pay for the funeral costs and things. So, ultimate sacrifice, police officer. And I think every police officer will tell you that you go to work knowing every day you're willing to make the ultimate sacrifice to protect the public.
Wow.
So.
Well, Mr. Jane sure earned his keep now. Hopefully he'll be put away for the rest of his days.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah, what a tragic happening in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
All right, let's, kind of a downer. We need to.
Well, Andy.
Yeah, it's my fault, I know. Let's do some positive
stuff. That's okay. You know, this is life. You know, life isn't always, popcorn and M&M's.
It's true.
You know,
it's true.
By the way, that's a good combination, if you're ever wondering.
Popcorn and M&M's.
That's right. And I hate to say this, whenever I go to the movies, I stop at the convenience store and get me a bag of M&M's, chocolate. And not the peanut, just the regular chocolate.
Okay.
Yeah. And you go get that popcorn, throw it in there, and get an M&M and one or two kernels of popcorn every bite, and you're happy.
Did you know?
And if they sold M&M's at the movie theater like they used to do, I would buy them from them.
Yeah. I learned this. Now, maybe we need some movie experts to tell me, but I was told by a person who works at the movie theater, so I assume it's true.
Yeah.
You know how for years we've been sneaking treats into the movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
stuff.
You got big old bulge in your pocket. Yeah. They're like, oh.
Wintertime's the best.
Come on. Yeah, because you can do your coat, but. Did you know it's not illegal to bring your own treats into the movie?
No, it's not illegal.
There's nothing wrong with it. But
they don't like it.
They don't like it, but you can do it.
Yeah.
They're not going to not let you go to the movie.
No, they're not going to kick you out for that.
I always figure, you know, a little kid, you're like, oh, mom and dad are doing something evil. We're going to get busted. Yeah. They're going to throw my parents in jail because they have some Twizzlers.
I understand of the economics, that's where they make their money is off the concession stand. Mm-hmm. They don't make the money off the ticket sales.
Mm. Kind of like gas stations. They don't make much money off of gas. They make a lot of money off of what they sell in the store.
Yeah.
So, all right. We only have about 4 or 5 minutes before break, so I want to talk about tipping a little bit. You run a commercial establishment.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the only way they sell them anymore with the cash registers or whatever, but the trend now, and almost everywhere you go, is they spin the thing around and say, hey, it'll ask you a couple of questions, and you got to sign with your finger or whatever.
Yeah.
And, of course, then it comes to the whole, am I supposed to leave a tip for the person standing there taking my order? There was a recent meme online going around that basically was, if you have to stand to order your food, you should not have to leave a tip. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't disagree with that. I mean, I understand from the owners of the restaurant or the establishment's point of view, because the tip, here's the thing, when minimum wages and not just minimum wages, but actual wages. So the minimum wage to hire someone to, let's say, be a cashier in St. George, Utah right now is probably somewhere around $10 or $11 an hour.
Okay.
Now, that's not any mandated.
No, that's what it costs.
That's the market.
Yeah.
Okay. So if this person, you're competing with this person's time to do something else for $12 an hour, the tipping helps offset that. Okay, so you could actually eliminate tips, but then actually prices at the business would probably have to raise
You'd have to raise the wages of
your employees.
Right,
because you got to raise all the wages. Because in my establishment, the tips that come in gets distributed fairly evenly throughout the whole staff. And then that really helps to offset the costs, labor costs of everything. Now, not everybody tips, and that's fine. And it's completely voluntary, and nobody knows. The person on the other side of the computer, of the cash register, does not know if that person's tipping or not, or how much they are. They have no idea. So we only know at the end of the day you can pull a report on that, but you have no idea. So it's not like there's any kind of I feel like there's probably a social pressure there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably getting to the point where there's going to be a significant backlash. To be honest with you, and I understand that. But I think if that backlash occurs to the point where it turns into action, then there'll have to be an adjustment on the other side. Because, you know, the owners that do not distribute the tips don't keep their people for very long.
Hmm.
Okay, I will tell you that. And I've run across a few of those types. But you have to, but it's, I don't have a problem doing it. I like doing it. I like being able to give my people as much as I can and still make money, you know.
So my daughters worked for a company. I'm not going to say the company because I don't want anybody mad at me or a lawsuit or anything, but they worked for a business. And if the person ordering tipped on the computer, the owner kept it. If the person tipped with cash, then they got the
That's not right.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I thought that's.
I mean,
that's kind
you
of
can. There is an administrative cost because it costs money to run your receipts through the credit card. Credit cards charge about 3%.
Right.
So you're entitled to 3% of that credit card tip, which is reasonable, but the rest of it should go through.
Okay. Do you, it was not that long ago. I'm going to say 10 to 15 years ago, you couldn't even buy fast food with a credit card. It's so weird because for 40 years, I've wanted to pay with my credit card. I was just like, can you just run my card? In most places, you go to McDonald's, they wouldn't take a card. You go to Wendy's, they wouldn't take, wherever. And, you know, the only place that if you went to a department store, they didn't take credit cards at grocery stores for a while. They only took debit and check and cash.
Yeah.
And so it has swung now where pretty much everyone takes a card. Now.
Well, there's so much money in the business.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more credit card processing companies out there now. And the technology has gotten to the point where it is more. I remember to buy something with a credit card, the guy had to get the machine out with a piece of paper and the carbons on it and fill it out by hand and then run the credit card over it.
Yeah,
because you had the raised letters on the card. As a business owner, at the end of the night, then you got to turn all those receipts into the credit card company to get your money.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal. That was a big pain. So when the technology caught up and everything is done electronically, it just makes it so much easier, you know. And credit cards, almost everybody's got a credit card that's got some kind of reward on it.
True.
You know, so for my business, we have airline points that we get, you know, and which is nice because when we take a trip, we use those points.
Yeah.
So.
Although I do have an issue. You have 50,000 credit sky miles. What does that mean? Oh, you can fly from here to Denver once.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. That's not.
Well, you know, different airlines have different values to their miles.
Yeah.
Like United isn't nearly as good as Southwest. I'll tell you that right now.
we signed up for one. We were on a trip. And it was before. You were actually on the plane before. And the stewardesses or what do they call them now?
Flight attendants
are going around saying, hey, you can sign up for Sky Miles and get credit for today's flight right now and everything. And we're like, oh, that sounds pretty good. We signed up for the thing. And we got credit. I mean, the credit was not enough to even take a flight from here to Cedar. I mean, it was. Actually, I don't think we fly to Cedar. But anyway,
the point was
it was so small. Yeah. Like, well, why did we even say it? Well, now they have our name and phone number. Guess what? We're going to get
it. Now you're going to get it.
Yeah. All right, 9:32 on KDXU. Jack Lancaster is with me. When we come back, we're going to talk about religion. No, we're not going to give a Sunday school lesson. But I do want to talk about the happiness quotient. Are you happier or are you less happy if you're a religious person?
We'll talk
about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. He's Jack Lancaster, 9:37 on KDXU. Jack, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome, Andrew.
You got a trip coming. You're going to, tell me again, in a couple months.
Yeah, we're going to go to England.
England?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You practice learning their language?
I'm practicing most. I can't do an English accent on cue.
Stockton could. Stockton, give us a British accent, will you? You there?
Well, I can certainly try.
Do that again. Do a little Hugh Grant for us.
A little Hugh Grant. I don't know. I'm afraid I'm too uncivilized for Hugh Grant, I'm afraid.
Okay. All right.
You can't be too uncivilized for Hugh. He's a pretty uncivilized bloke.
Oh, I don't know.
He played a thespian, so I watched that stupid...
Oh, did you watch that Toast
Seinfeld unfrosted one?
Oh, no. I know who Hugh Grant is, but yeah. I'm afraid I don't have that sort of...
Yeah, he played a thespian who wanted to desperately to do King Lear, but he was stuck doing Tony
the Tiger.
Oh, that's...
Did you see it too,
yeah,
then?
I watched it last night.
That sounds phenomenal. Oh.
That is really good.
I had to study for quite a few things when I was... I'm also a thespian myself. So.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I need to take lessons because we met some folks last year. We went on a cruise, and we met a British couple, and we were friends. And we were having a contest to see who could do each other's accent better. And
a British guy?
Well, a young couple.
Yeah,
and we became friends with him on the cruise.
Was he British?
Oh, yeah, they were from Manchester.
Okay,
and we had a contest to see who could do each other's accent the best.
So did he do a pretty good American?
Yeah, he did a Southern.
Oh, yeah,
was funny. Okay. Right. He did his best. It turned out to be Texas.
That's not bad. All right, I wanted to talk about happiness a little bit. There a couple of studies about happiness recently. And the more significant one that I like was, and they were both pretty similar numbers, but this one is a little more clear. They asked people, they asked them two questions. Are you very religious, moderately religious, or not religious? And then they asked them, are you very happy, moderately happy, or not happy? Simple survey. Yeah, simple survey.
Was there a correlation?
There was a huge correlation, as a matter of fact. If you answered that you were very religious or moderately religious, you were a much higher percent. I believe I said 13 or I think it was 23% higher happiness quotient for those that were at least moderately religious.
Okay.
Interestingly, Jack, I found this very fascinating. There was no difference as far as the happiness quotient for people that were moderately religious and very religious.
Okay.
They were the same. If you consider yourself religious at all, you were happier.
Oh,
the ones that were unhappy, I think it was 25 or 27% more likely to be unhappy if you were not religious at all. But the weird number for me was the moderately versus very religious. I consider myself very religious.
Yeah,
very religious was defined as, and they even gave them little definitions on the survey. Very religious means you go to church once a week, you pray daily, and I think you read the Bible or other scripture.
Uh-huh.
So if you did those three things, you would consider yourself very religious.
Okay,
so. But I was really surprised that there was not a bigger difference between moderately religious. Those are people that attend church at least once a month and pray at least once a week.
Okay.
There was no difference as far as happiness. Well, how do you explain that?
The moderate religious types are just happy with who they are, and they figure that they're just, you know, hey, we know what we're doing, right? And we're just, you know, they're a little bit relaxed attitude, you know?
Hmm.
You know, we would call them in our culture the Jack Mormons.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that, yeah.
Check this out. What is the happiest state in America? Look at the answer.
It's Utah. And that's another survey I was going to bring to bear. And what is the most religious state in America was also Utah.
Yeah. And which state has the highest birth rate in America?
That would be Utah.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe there's a correlation between large families and happiness.
Now, one thing we learned in college when it comes to statistics is just because they are related doesn't mean they're correlated.
Correlation does not mean causation.
Exactly. That's what I was looking for. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you could say, well, more religious people are happier. Is that causation? Well, that's kind of a gray area.
Well, there's a correlation between, for example, ice cream sales and shark attacks.
That's right.
There's a correlation.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean one causes the other.
Well, the old statistic, you're more likely to be killed by a vending machine than you are a shark.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that's a real statistic.
Okay.
You know, in the U.S., 60 people a year are killed by a vending machine falling on them, and only 18 or something by sharks.
I would guess that the survey missed a big point.
Okay.
Because if you're more religious or you're moderately religious, maybe you're more likely to have a larger family, or your family group is more likely to be closer knit.
Mm.
And that can cause, or that can be a factor in your happiness level.
There was a big correlation between, in a separate survey, talking about loneliness and happiness, and how the more isolated you are, the less likely you are to be happy. And that plays right in with what you're saying about families and you know, the group around
you're
you.
A father.
Yeah.
What are some of the happiest days of your life? And I'll tell you mine.
You know, birth of the children.
Right.
When they do something that is really awesome, you know, it's a happy day. It makes you very, you know, graduation from college,
right,
stuff
right.
like that. Yeah.
All those things relating to family.
Yeah.
Right.
Not a personal achievement, not a...
Well, it can be. It can be more satisfactory, maybe. Maybe more of a sense of
but
accomplishment.
But you said happiest.
Happiest is when someone you love...
Yeah.
Is introduced to you, whether through a marriage or whether through whatever.
Birth, yeah.
Birth. And then also when you have someone to grieve with when a loved one passes.
Mm.
When you have a big family to, and you know someone will take care of you when you get older. You know, your children.
I used to joke around with my kids. So I was kind of Mr. Mom, right?
Uh-huh.
After I left my job. I didn't lose it. I quit. I left my job at the Spectrum. There was a period there in the mid to late 90s to really about 2010 where I was the stay-at-home dad and my wife worked during the day. I worked nights and weekends. And I changed a lot of diapers, Jack.
Uh-huh.
A lot of diapers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I joke with my kids now. I'm like, you know, son... I'll tell my son is 32 years old. I'm like, you know, AJ, I probably changed your diaper somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, to a day, year and a half, 2 years before the, maybe 3 years before the pie. Thousands of times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, you know, when I get old and I've lost control of my faculties, are you going to return the favor, son? He says, I'll hire somebody to help. Apparently the answer is no.
Yeah, the answer is going to be no on that.
If you want to text into us, 467-5842 is my text line. I'm holding the phone right here. I'll look at it. I actually have a picture of my granddaughter.
See? Yeah, see, there you go. How many grandkids do you got?
I'm up to 5 now.
Wow.
Yeah. My one son did it the quick way. He had twins. A couple of years later, he had twins again.
Oh, my goodness.
So four in 3 years with him. And then this is my other son. He has a little one-year-old now. So.
Wow. Two sets of twins in the same
family. Yeah. He has 4 kids under the age of 4.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
One more and he's got a basketball team.
We love going to their house and we love leaving their house. Chaos.
Yeah. Those poor people. They don't get any sleep at all, do they?
No. So if religion makes us happier, we're going to talk when we come back after this commercial break about what is religion, how does it fit, what are the tenets of being a religious person, what do we believe. I'm not going to get into the whole, you know, X's and O's of Bible, Christianity, and stuff like that. I just want to talk about some of the main things that we buy into if we are religious people right after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Jack Lancaster with me on this fine Monday, the 6th day of May, 2024. Jack got his whistle on. You know, there are guys that are professional whistlers.
I believe it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all they do for a living. And it was weird. Last night, Saturday night, I was whistling a song, and I was on point.
Yeah.
But there are other times I try to whistle, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wonder what... And I guess a professional whistler would be able to tell you the what you should have in your...
Probably need to warm up your lips and your tongue and make sure everything's properly moistened.
Probably has something to do with what you drink. Like, I would think, maybe, a sugary liquid might gum up
the
work.
It's like anything. Practice, baby.
Practice.
Okay? Yeah.
All right, so it is well established, I believe, that religious people are happier than non-religious people.
Okay.
It really seems that they... You say, I know correlation is not causation, but it just seems like, and I've read four different studies now over the last 2 weeks that say religious people are at least 20% happier than non-religious people.
Okay.
So let's talk about the idea of being a religious person. Here are some of the Judeo-Christian principles, things that we believe, and I'm just trying to break them down into. Number one is relationship with your God, your creator, is personal.
Yes.
Now, that didn't used to be the way. In fact, for a long time, the Catholic Church, first of all, they were killing people that disagreed with them. And second of all, the only access that you had, I mean, most of the populace back in the, the Dark Ages, they call them, couldn't even read.
Right.
So when a text would, there'd be a text with all the religious stuff, if they couldn't read it anyway, the only way they got religion was through the guy who could read, the pastor, the priest, the bishop, whatever. So,
and it was in Latin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had to learn Latin.
Yeah. So religion, access to God, in a lot of ways, I think for the everyman was very difficult.
Well, if you have put it this way, let's say you take Jesus Christ at his word and you say, I am going to find out, God, if you exist, and I need you to tell me one way or the other. And this is a true heartfelt experiment, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay, Jesus says I need to believe, I need to learn what it is, and I need to take some effort to find out. If you do all those things, I think most people get an answer if they're honestly asking the question. And if you have that personal, let's call it revelation, if you have that personal witness, then you have an assurity that you know what is, now you've learned something that you didn't know possibly in the past. And that makes you feel like your life can have a purpose, your life can have meaning, and that you can spread that happiness, that feeling into others. How's that?
I like that.
That's that personal relationship.
Another tenet of being a religious person is religion carries a very strong, it didn't used to, but right now I believe all religions, almost all religions, carry a very strong desire for free will, mm-hmm. the ability to make your choice.
Right.
If you go to North Korea, not so much. China, not so much. But yeah. In the Western world, free will is so important. It's probably important in those places, too. They just don't let it happen. But the ability to care for you. I know, as if you're a member of the predominant religion here in Utah, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that is actually, free agency is one of the number one main things that you believe in. But it seems to be pretty important in all religions now.
Yeah, well, nobody's happy when they're compelled to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why, what's the point?
And back again to the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church did make people, if you deny whatever it is you were thinking, or else we're going to burn you at the stake. They really literally did that.
Yeah, it was called heresy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then one of the third tenets of Christianity is the idea that you can improve yourself, that If you look at scripture, they talk about online the Bible mostly, but other people that maybe believe in other scripture like the Book of Mormon, the books are full of people who changed for the better.
Mm-hmm.
People who were flawed, were broken, you just look at any of the leaders in scriptural texts, they all had the ability to change. That's an important tenet.
Well, a good one I like is the apostle, was it Paul?
Paul, yeah.
Saul, Paul.
Yeah.
He
was not only not a very good guy, but he was actively preaching against the church.
Right. Well, against the Christians at the time, yeah. But, I mean, that's a really wonderful story, just the idea of the conversion story that happened to him, which happens all the time with people,
mm-hmm.
I love it when I've got a dear friend who I grew up with who spent many, many years being an alcoholic and a borderline drug addict, and who floundered with his career, with school, dropped out of college, And within the last 10 years, he got recommitted to his faith. He got married, had a couple of kids, and now he is completely 180 of a person. Hmm. He's a kind, gentle person who knows what the other side is. And now he lives to be a dad to his girls, you know, and just,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the power, that religion can give you with that personal relationship. That's one example anyway.
The other thing, and some of this I'm taking is from an article on freemansperspective.com called What Are Judeo-Christian Principles? Let's see, let's give the writer credit. It is written by, well, he doesn't give a last name, he's just by Paul.
Okay.
Paul. Not that Paul, but by a Paul. One of the things he talks about is a principle of Christianity is the idea that right is right and wrong is wrong, and it doesn't matter what the law says. And that's been an interesting concept throughout time. For instance, I mean, you can explore Nazi Germany, and, you know, there were righteous, good people who were Germans, who lived in Germany at the time. How responsible were they for what happened there? Did they know? If they did know, did they do something about it? If they did something about it, I mean, you know, the fear was there. You were going to be sent to one of those camps yourself if you railed against the machines.
Well, there's one thing to rise up against evil and then know that if you do that, your life will be taken from you and your children. I mean, there's a special kind of courage that would have to go with that. But, I mean, what about today, you know? Can we speak against evil when it is, for example, young men who think they are women who are competing against other women in sports? Can we have the courage to speak against that, for example?
You probably won't be executed, but you probably will be ostracized if you speak too loudly
against that. Is that a community I want to belong to anyway?
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't. You do. You know. We both know. I don't.
So, I mean, there's certainly options. I mean, it's not illegal technically in most places for a young man to compete against women in high school or collegiate sports these days.
Yeah.
So, does that make it right? Does that make it fair?
No.
Okay. So I'm wondering if we don't even have to go back to Nazi Germany to find examples in our own day and age, for example.
Right. Right. You have to be brave enough to say. And unfortunately, and we're short on time now, but we see over and over again people speak out against perceived evil. Most of the time, what we all perceive as evil, and they get lambasted. They get fried in public, the public court of opinion.
Right.
It's sad.
So let's just be brave. Everybody, be brave.
Yeah.
Speak truth to power.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Lancaster.
Offer everyone freedom to do it. Don't hide from your truth. Don't hide from truth. Truth, justice, and the American way.
We're out of time. Thank you, Jack.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.